So I have to talk about this because it's so dumb, but it's like I've been thinking about it all day.
Oh God.
So I had a dream last night, and I was listening to people talk to me about the Rocky movies. And now I've never seen Rocky.
What?
Like I've never seen any of the Rocky movies. I haven't seen Creed. I
What?
haven't seen anything of those.
But
And I've told you this before.
I know,
This
but it's shocking every time. Like you
has
like Die Hard, you like 80s action movies.
Yeah, but that's not an action movie. It's a boxing movie. It's a sports
It's
movie. It's different.
oh my, we need a Rocky marathon at some point, or at least the first four.
Yeah, just the first four. Okay. Anyway, so I had this dream. So I wasn't watching the movies in the dream. I was having people talk to me about this, about the movies. And they started talking about how there's a subplot in the movies where Apollo Creed is secretly like an undercover assassin that like turns it into an actual 80s action movie in my brain, apparently. And his code name, or like his assassin name, was Chillus Killus. And I
Chillus.
woke up like, I was like, that is the best name for an assassin that my brain has ever come up with.
What?
I have not been able to stop thinking about the name Chillus Killus. It's perfect.
I would see you waking up out of embarrassment. No, you woke up and you were like, my brain is a
Oh no, I'm
genius.
proud of this. This is my brain is like on fire with this choice.
Chillus. Kill us.
Yes, I love it. It's so
It's so bad. Chill us.
It's so weird, like the framework of it being like a part of like the Rocky movies, and like Apollo Creed is an assassin. Like that part is weird enough on its own, but like the name Chillus Killus repeated multiple times in my dream through my subconscious to the point that I woke up still with that burned into my brain.
I can
Oh,
picture
God.
that scene of like you're just peacefully sleeping and then suddenly you wake up like gripping the sheet and all we hear is chill us, kill us. Like anybody else in that room would just be like, what the fuck?
Well, I didn't get that reaction from my girlfriend, so my reaction wasn't loud enough to wake her up at least, but I definitely like I was like from like asleep to wide awake. This wasn't like sort of like that half dream state where you're kind of like slowly coming out of it, and so you're like grasping at straws or whatever. It was like then I'm listening to this recap of Rocky movies, and the name comes up after me a couple times, and then like I'm bolting awake, like I've got like the idea for the next, you know, hot app. Like I'm gonna create another Silicon Valley night. I almost said Silicon Valley nightmare because that's what it is.
That's what it is.
But yeah, it's like I've got the next idea for the greatest thing since sliced bread, Chillus
Mr. Killus.
Killus. The name's Killus, Chillus
So bad. I thought you were going to be embarrassed talking about this thing.
No, I am all fully on board with the Chillus Killus somatic
You
universe,
should get that website registered right now. Trademark TMTM.
Oh yeah, like
Chilluskillus.com.
if I had like if AIM still existed, I would register the Chillus Killus like name. Maybe I'll change my Discord name to that or something. I don't know.
I don't even want to be like the sidekicker associated with the guy who came up with like Chillus Killer. Oh my God.
It's a gamer. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. We're here. It's a gamer. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. This makes no fucking sense, but we're doing it anyway.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Make Me a Gamer, the procedurally generated podcast that's a roguelike for your ears. I'm your host, T-Man, and I'm here with.
Harvey Z in the place to be.
And I almost said I was Chillus Killus here with Harvey Z, but I didn't. I restrained myself.
Yes, yeah. I don't fuck with the beginning part either. I don't change up the Harvey Z and the place to be, even though like I could give updates and stuff. No, I keep it till the end. That's me being a professional.
Because we're fucking professionals. So
sure. Sure, where are they at?
Yeah, we're totally professionals. Speaking of professionals, we have a little... First, we'll start off with a little update, because apparently we've got a stonk update from
Big Money Z. Big Money Z. He needs a different thing than In the Place to Be. But sadly, so all the people out there may already know this, but stonks don't keep going up, buddy. So last time I had mentioned that, yes, I was getting in on this stonk market game, I guess, because for the sake of the podcast, you know, to really show that I'm behind the podcast. So I checked the updates today and I'm down $700. Like, stonks didn't turn up. So it went into the weekend and like all the memes sort of continued, like, yeah, we're going to kick ass on Monday. We're going to do this. And then they sort of died down. And then I was like, Sunday was quiet. And I was like, but they all saw the memes on Friday. They know what's up. And then, yeah, this week just kind of petered out. Stonks.
Yeah. Kept following. It's definitely the internet fervor around it has settled. I know there are some people who are still holding and waiting, but like, I thought like everything I read and saw was like, I thought Friday was going to be the big day.
Well, so that's why this week was supposed to be like AMC and like the BlackBerry and stuff. Like we did it with GameStop. Now we're going to move to the next one and we're going to fuck up the next company and stuff. And I was like, oh, I'm ready. I'm ready for this. And yeah, nobody did it. And then suddenly we were just holding stocks that were crashing. And then it was like, yeah, all right. So I'm down $700, but I'm still Big Money Z. I got some ideas on what to do. I can write this off as maybe like a work expense because you need to pay me, T-Man. I need money now. This needs to be a job so I can write this shit off.
Oh, wow. So, I got to respect the hustle. You know, you're still moving as strong as you can. But on the other hand, like if you invested in like AMC and stuff like that, there's a chance that can still come back.
That's because like... Yeah, like the Twitter account started tweeting again and they're like, we're excited to bring you guys back and stuff. And so now I guess I'm just like, I gotta hope AMC does well. So, you know, that's why I was like, I have some loyalty to AMC. Like maybe they'll come back, but I bought it probably when it was already up and it's come down to probably what it's worth. And so now I'm just like looking at those like red lines. And so I got really drunk and I decided I need it. If I can't be Big Money Z in my bank account, I can still be Big Money Z in my lifestyle.
Uh-huh.
So I got drunk and I decided...
those two things together, that's not a good start to any sort of thing that's going to happen. No, because
now we're unlocking like hidden Harvey Z's that I didn't even know exist out there. That's where these genius ideas come from. So what do you do if you're Big Money Z and you're down some money? You got to double down on the Big Money Z. I decided, though, to be practical. Apparently, I discovered, so the WWF, not the World Wrestling Federation, but the World Wildlife Foundation, allows you to adopt endangered animals. So I'm buying fucking pandas by the boatload now. I'm going to get certificates and I'm going to start naming them all and stuff. Big Money Z is saving the world, baby.
Okay, you know what? I can respect that. I can respect Big Money Z like throwing away his hedge fund capital and instead go drunk. Like some people, you know, get drunk and buy like shoes or video games or, you know, I don't know. You're drunk buying pandas, which
like, they'll send me certificates and everything. So I'm going to find out, like, I'm going to get different, like, who doesn't love getting mail? I'm going to get mail and it's going to say, hey, you adopted this one. What do you want to name them? And there's a whole website and everything that I can go on to, like, name my pandas. So
okay,
who's winning now?
This, I will say, I hope you don't drunk name the pandas. Please give these pandas some respectability in their lives.
they're all going to be something Z's or pandas. The panda gang. Yes.
I can just imagine these conversations between all these named pandas. Like, what is your name? Oh, well, I'm Panda McPanda Face. And, you know, oh, I'm Butthole 4420.
Give me some more credit. I'm not going to be named that. They're all going to be variations of Z, Z, or Harvey Z. They're going to have my name. They're going to be respectable. Again,
they're going to have like 12 pandas running around all named Harvey. Like, Harvey, get over here. Fuck. Which one?
You're Harvey Z. You're Harvey ZZ. You're Harvey 13 Zs. You're Harvey ZZZ. ZZ Top.
Yeah, I was going to say Harvey Sleep. You know, catching
nice,
some
nice.
Z's.
Yeah, I'm loving this. I'm looking forward to like adopting and naming my pandas.
I feel sorry for those pandas. I really do. But you're putting your money to a good cause.
I mean, this is like a good, like, this isn't an advertising or anything. You guys can also go out there to like WWF.com and you can adopt apparently all sorts of endangered animals. So like save the planet,
like,
and
What does the adopting actually do?
It just basically sends money to the foundation to preserve those types of animals. And then you get like plushies. So I'm going to get a fuck ton of plushies as well as certificates.
I expect you to have like a throne of panda plushies around you whenever we record the podcast next.
Panda gang, baby. Big money Z.
Have you, like, just randomly, have you heard of this new app called Clubhouse?
Yes, but I know it's a social media type of thing, but I don't actually know what it is.
So basically it's invite only right now. But like all like the social media apps do that initially. You know, Gmail was invite only for a while.
Oh, that's right. Back in the day we were trading those things, like,
yeah, like but I'm sure eventually it'll be public for registering. But it's been making the rounds in like the gaming circle, and it's a audio only social networking app where basically you can like have like scheduled chats with people, and people can like drop in and listen and just listen to you like hang out. It's basically like live podcasting. But then, like, you can also set it where, like, people can jump in and join the conversation if they want to. Or you can make it so it's more like a panel where you're just talking and anyone can hop in and listen and then hop out if they're, you know, not interested or whatever. And, you know, you can, like, follow people just like you can on Twitter and Facebook and stuff like that.
So it's audio only, though. There's no visual medium, no texting.
Correct. I mean, I don't know, like, I don't know all the details because I'm not a member of it, but like the primary service of it is like audio chatting where people can like talk with each other.
Okay.
And so like I just, you know, Harvey Z and his ever like expanding, you know, wanting to expand and hit new platforms. And I feel like this is a platform that's right within our wheelhouse. Like, who wouldn't want to come on to Clubhouse, follow T-Man and Harvey Z, and then get to, like, get in on the important conversations? Like, why the fuck is Harvey Z dipping his bagels in milk? You know?
I mean, I've been tweeting this whole week everything I dipped into milk. And I don't even do it out of spite. I'm just naturally dipping stuff in milk.
But, you know, you can get people, like, involved. And
but then,
you know,
I'm just going to have, like, people yelling at me, it seems. Like, they can listen to just me talk about dipping, right? I don't have to listen to that.
I mean, if we have it open to other people joining, you would have to listen to them. But if it's just us talking, then they would just listen to you, I guess.
That's
you can
right.
have, like, the Dipping Milk podcast starring Harvey Z. Today, I dipped ice cream in milk. Tomorrow, I'm going to dip a book in milk.
Now you're just taking it too far. A book isn't edible.
What if it's like a candy book?
I was thinking about that. Right? I was like, if there was a cake or a fondant book, I would eat that. Sure. I dip that shit.
All right. Give me just one second. I have to double check and make sure we haven't gotten any mail recently before we dive into games we've been playing. I haven't looked at the mailbox in a while, and I want to make sure.
Okay. I have a question, actually, since you brought up social media and hip new things that are coming out. This is Old Man Z, where I have actually a question about the internet, T-Man.
Okay.
So I've been faking it. I don't actually know this concept or this buzzword, but I see it on Twitter a lot. What actually is being ratioed?
Oh, this is really Old Man Z, huh? Okay.
Like, I see it all the time, and I pretend like, oh, yeah, he got ratioed. Ah, oh, ratioed, dude. I don't know what I'm talking about.
So basically, the ratio is, I forget what it originally was, and I think, like, Twitter changed things a little bit, but if you get more comments than likes on your tweet, then you've gotten ratioed. Because it's basically sort of a signifier that if no one's liking your tweet, that means they're not actually liking your tweet. And on top of that, if they're taking the time out of their day to reply to your tweet and actually write a comment, it probably means you've said something stupid and or offensive. And okay. So the ratio is basically, oh shit, like you fucked up.
Okay, so it's a bad thing to have happen. I shouldn't go around like trying to ratio our podcast.
Correct. We do not want the ratio.
Okay. Okay. Good to know. I'm always trying to brand and I'm trying to help out the podcast. So I was like, we need to get ratioed, buddy.
No, we don't. We do not want to be ratioed. It's, you know that old saying, all press is good press? No, not on Twitter. There is plenty of bad press. You can get bad press. It's not good.
Okay. And then right, I had one more thing where I was going to be cool because I just discovered something else. So for hip young Z on the internet, Lady Dimitrisu?
I was going to get to that if you'd let me.
I was like, have you heard of this thing?
Because like I this is right up your alley because, you know, Bowsette and that kind of stuff. I figure this is like
my exact conversation this morning with myself as I spent time on the internet for a long time. Learning about
don't tell me how much time you were spending on the internet looking into this because I don't want to know.
It was enough.
God. Ugh. Anyway, so I was going to say that we don't have any new emails, so they don't have anything to talk about. I guess I could go over the novel length summary that Professor Q has left in the Discord about his XCOM exploits, but...
I think they need to just go there to see that, yeah.
Yeah, they can read up on that if they want to. And please, for the love of God, spaces and paragraphs. Anyway, all right, so, yeah, I guess it's time. You know, there comes a time in all young Z's life where we have
they
to talk
capitalized.
About the tall Resident Evil lady.
Yes.
And, yeah. So what did you discover
the video game creators or like the Japanese name person who I'm assuming is the creator of Resident Evil or somebody released a press release acknowledging like people seem to really like, and that's where I learned about this Lady Dimitrescu. And like,
yeah, I don't know how to pronounce it, honestly.
Okay, but like her and her daughters, and they like basically thanked the fans for their interest and said the game is coming out. But the fun thing that they also gave, they gave out her height.
Uh-huh.
It was nice. She is apparently 9'6".
Yep.
And so I learned that and I was like, who is this person? And I got to learn more about this because 9'6", that's a nice number. And then I check it out and... wow, there's a lot of stuff out there if you start looking at Lady Dimitrescu.
Yeah, like, Jesus. It's not my thing. I know.
I was like this. I wanted to bring it up, and I'm like, this is my thing.
Yeah, this is all you. This is not me. There's a whole step on me crowd that is just into this lady.
I mean,
and the 9'6" thing has just made it worse. But like, with her hat. With hat.
Okay.
He did specify that it was 9'6" with hat.
And she has heels on.
And heels, yeah. So we don't know. Maybe it's like 2-foot heels or something. Like, that would be insane. But
so why did, like, is this the villain? It seems like that's a just a really tall woman. Is the like,
yeah. So people are,
because I'm down with that.
Suspecting that she's obviously a villain, probably not the main villain. So in Resident Evil, there are things called tyrants. Uh-huh. And tyrants are usually like bigger, more powerful, more threatening zombies. Things like Nemesis and Mr. X, like the enemies that like you can't kill and just chase you throughout the entire game. Those are usually tyrants. And so there's like a lot of theorizing going around in like with people who are familiar with Resident Evil and our fans that like this lady Dimitrescu is the tyrant of the game, and so she'll be like around and just like fuck you up if she finds you, and you can't really kill her because she's like the unbeatable bad that chases you, especially because she's just like fucking gigantic.
I love it so much. Like, I want comic books, I want movies, I want spinoffs of this character. This has captured me in a Bowsette sort of way. Because I'm like, oh, I want to see her wear the Bowsette crown.
Well, she's already already a monster. Like, she doesn't need the Bowsette crown. That's the thing.
It would be so, like, leave my imagination alone. It just reels at the possibility.
I'm always impressed by, like, cosplayers and how quickly they can, like, throw together things. Like, she's been, like, revealed, like, I think her first reveal was like in January, so like early in January, and like by the end of January, there were already like professional shoots of people wearing like stuff, you know, cosplaying as her, and clearly as like everyone got horny over her, there's been like hornier and hornier stuff coming out involving her as well. And again, not my thing, and I'm not looking into it. But people like their monster ladies, people like their tall ladies, people like their evil ladies, and she is all three, and
it's wonderful. Yeah, like I'll have to, don't worry, podcasters, I'll be on this case. Harvey Z researching for you.
Yeah, yeah. Harvey Z, he's on the case. He's put on his investigator hat, and he will go down every rabbit hole he finds and keep us updated on just how horny people get over this video game.
I mean, there's no joke there, folks. I'm willing to do it. Someone needs to do it.
I got no words. I wasn't even trying to make a joke. It's just, that's what it is.
Okay. Yes, that's the only reason I knew about that. That's all I know happened on the internet these days.
I mean, that was probably the biggest thing that happened. There was a fuck Activision and fuck Bobby Kotick moment that happened last week that I will briefly go over, but it's like a downer and a stupid fucking racist thing. And I don't want to go over it too much, but basically last week, this is an article on PC Gamer. Activision refuses to adopt diverse hiring practices across the company. The Call of Duty publisher rejects proposed hiring policies as unworkable. Basically, they're not going to... I'll just keep reading the article instead of trying to summarize this. Activision Blizzard has called proposal to adopt the Rooney Rule, a policy requiring it interview at least one diverse candidate when hiring, an unworkable encroachment on its ability to do business. Established in 2003, the Rooney Rule is an NFL policy requiring teams to interview at least one non-white, non-male candidate for coaching positions. It's since spread to other industries in various forms. Earlier this month, the American Federation of Labor and Congress of Industrial Organizations submitted shareholder proposals to publisher Activision and EA, calling on them to adopt the policy. EA told Motherboard that it would consider the AFL-CIO's proposal at its next board meeting. But while Activision claims to already use the practice for director and CEO positions, the publisher is reportedly trying to get the SEC to intervene, letting Activision reject the proposal outright. And yeah, so basically it's they're trying to make excuses to get around being having like actual good hiring policies.
So I have thoughts on this in the sense of where I've seen this in action a little bit, like not in the video game sort of way, but this rule is actually really easy to get around too. Like, I mean, so I've encountered it in New Zealand of all places where like in New Zealand, they have a rule where if you're trying to get a job as an outsider, like a non-New Zealander, whatever position you apply for, the whatever the workplace hiring place is, must look at a Kiwi New Zealand candidate for the same position. But if none is available, or you at least looked at one and you're going to go with the other person, you go with the other person. So it was one where like I found a place, they wanted to give me a job and everything, but they're like, we'll look around. And then they looked and they didn't really try very hard, but they were like, okay, we looked around, you're good, now you can do it. But they just kind of ticked the box for it. So I could see that easily happening here where people would just, oh yeah, we tried, we couldn't find anything, and you're hired. Like, it's something where they've already got the position in hand, but then they'll look at somebody or they'll default interview somebody one time and then immediately hire the guy they were already trying to hire. Like, this isn't a unworkable. This is just a easy one to jump through with loopholes kind of thing, unfortunately.
Yeah, like, the fact that they're just outright saying it's unworkable and not being like, oh, okay, we'll do that, sure, and then, like, loopholing it is even like just more egregious in my opinion. Like, they're like, we're not going to be racist quietly, we're just going to go ahead and just be outright racist. And anyway, yeah, the internet is very up in arms about that, and we already know my feelings on Activision and its CEO, so I won't go into it too much, but I did want to mention that just because, you know, fuck Activision and fuck Bobby Kotick.
There we go.
It's almost like the God, what's the word? What phrase am I looking for? What's like the catchphrase?
Oh, I was about to say your mantra.
I mean, my mantra, and like almost like the podcast catchphrase at this point. Probably said it in at least 5 different episodes now, probably more. I don't keep track. Anyway, let's talk about video games. You want to talk about video games?
Sure.
So you have actually been playing games. I've been playing games. What games would you like to talk about, Harvey?
Let's see. Old games, it's kind of, we've hashed over. I'm playing Civ. We had a whole thing with, like, I emailed the publishers of Civilization to complain about a bug. They actually sent me an email back, and the email was basically, oh, well, while we control this, we work on the PC side. You need to email these other people about the Mac side, but we hope that your bug gets fixed. And like, they apologized and they read my thing, but they were like, it's not our problem. And I haven't emailed the Mac people, but I've been able to just kind of play on my own. Basically, it was a multiplayer kind of issue, but it was interesting. Wait,
were you able to actually get into the single player? Because
I can play single player now. Yeah. Like,
okay, because like we try before, we were trying the single player and it didn't work either.
Yeah, so that took about a day. That got fixed, and I was playing like within the next day or two. I was able to like play the single player modes. I still haven't been able to cross play like from Mac to PC, and like the company sent it back like just saying, oh no, you have to talk to Aspyr. They're the people who do Mac stuff. We actually just do the PC game, which. Didn't know that, but cool. And they hope it gets fixed.
Yeah. Yeah. We tried to play Civ 6 as like a 3-person group this past weekend, and just didn't work. Like, he got stuck on a loading screen every time we entered the game, which sucked.
I mean, this sort of happens with like Macs. It seems like every time Civ updates, I have to wait like a week or two to get the bugs out for the Mac.
Yeah.
But now I know it's Aspyr is the people.
Yeah, well, email them, and or we'll check and see if it works at some point, and catch up on the multiplayer and get back to our games. Seems like every time we try to play Civ, it like updates, right after we decide to start playing it again and fucks everything up.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I love the game so much, the whole like series, but yeah, that is a frustrating thing, and it's only been really, I feel like, a Mac problem. But
yeah, it's definitely a Mac problem. It's almost like all the problems we have when we try to play games with you on the computer is because you're on a Mac. But you know,
big money weird. Z, gotta have that. Best of the best.
Yeah, that's not the best of the best for gaming, and you know it.
I mean,
we're gonna you a gaming PC that you can like use in addition. I was about to say,
is there Mac. Like a gaming Mac? Is there a Mac designed for gaming?
I don't think so. Like, the problem is that most PC games are, you know, built for PCs, and like,
yeah,
Macs are a different structure.
So, other than that, I mean, I've been finally getting into my Switch. I hadn't played my Switch basically since Black Sad. Like, it turned me off of where if you play a game that's so bad or so frustrating that you just stop playing the system. Like, I just stopped playing the Switch for like 2 months.
That game hurt you, huh?
I really wanted to like it, and after that, that's why, like, this week I was like, I need to break that funk. I don't need to play Black Sad. I'll play something else. And so I played what I had, which was the new purchase, Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
And how are you liking it?
It is hard. I played it on like medium mode, I guess. And whew, I mean, I love it. I love the music. I love the replayability. It's basically a side-scrolling fighting kind of Streets of Rage style. And it's perfect in that I've only gotten to like the first boss in the first level. And like died multiple times though, so I've played like with multiple playthroughs or characters and stuff. There's a lot to like though. I don't know if you've tried it out yet.
I mean, I played it when it first came out. I've gone through and beaten the game like original when it was originally released on the PS3.
Okay. So like
I haven't played any on the Switch yet, but I keep waiting for you to be like, hey, we should play it together on the Switch and like hang out. But
yeah, don't like ever say right. That. Right now, I'm just like, I need to first learn how to play this game. And one of the things that is a plus and a minus is this leveling up system and learning new moves.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, it's very different from other brawlers in the sense that, like, there isn't any leveling up in, like, Final Fight or Streets of Rage. Like, you go through the level and you fight things and you, like, get equipment and, like, health regen and stuff like that. But like Scott Pilgrim, there are actual, like, the more you play, the more your character like can withstand stuff, and you can like upgrade stats and things through like the different like food shops and everything, if I remember correctly. And like that like carries over between levels, and like, so like it actually becomes easier the more you play with like specific characters, because like each character will level up, you know, differently.
Yeah, it added to the replayability, at least in that sense. But like, it was frustrating once I played a character to like level 3, and then I wanted to play with a new character, and I couldn't do like some of the moves that I really enjoyed, like basic moves that I felt, but because they hadn't gotten them yet.
Yeah.
So, but I'm enjoying it so far. Like, I'm probably going to continue to play it periodically from time to time. And then, yes, invite you to play at some point. Yes.
Yeah, I would like to play it online with you at some point. It would be fun. Is that basically it? That's all you've been playing?
Hey, that's a lot for me. That was two games.
Okay, that's fair. You know what? You had two games to talk about what you've been playing, and that's like, actually,
yeah, pretty impressive. I usually have one. I have two, and like I picked up a system that I hadn't played in a long time, a month or two. So
yeah. Maybe next time you'll even pull out that Sega Genesis Mini you have and play something on that.
I've actually plugged it into the TV now, but I haven't like
turned it on. You're slowly making progress. One of these times you'll turn it on, and then you'll turn the TV on the next time.
Yeah, like, oh, we don't even need to get into that. Like, I got a new TV at like November or October, and like I finally took it out of the box like a month ago. I'm like,
wait, really? You've had like a new TV, but you didn't actually set it up or anything?
Yeah, because I don't watch TV. Like, Harvey Z's got shit to do, man. Harvey Z watches stuff on his Mac.
I mean,
so I just put the TV on the box. Bigger. It's huge. It is huge. I just put it on like the coffee table, and then I was like, this is actually too big for the coffee table. And I don't want to take it out of its box set. So I'll just look at this giant TV that I could have, and I'll just be like, yeah, I own that shit. I'm materialistic. Harvey Z.
I'm starting to see why Big Money Z has problems with his bank account.
I mean, yeah, like Harvey's. So outside of Harvey Z style, like I try to avoid materialism. I try to avoid like owning too much shit. Like a Mac, it's all I need. It's simple and everything. Gaming systems felt like an extra where it was like, if I need to play a game, I'll play it on my phone or I'll play it on the computer. But like a console was just a luxury item that I didn't need anymore. Maybe as a child. A TV, I felt the same way. Like I could watch stuff on the Mac. I don't need an object built to watch things on. A single use object.
See, like, I guess it's just different. Like, I've always liked having a TV, you know, but I also play a lot of console games and watch movies and stuff and, you know, own DVDs and things. Mm-hmm. So I've always had like a living room set up, so to speak, even no matter where I've lived. And yeah, I'm not like huge into like the latest technology or whatever. Like I don't need a 4K TV or some mm-hmm. shit or anything, but I do like having like a dedicated television in an area with like a couch or something where I can just sit down and like, I don't like watching things on a computer, you know, like it doesn't feel right.
To be fair, you live with other people, and so it can be more social, like that environment. Other people can come and join. Like, if I'm living alone, like, no one else is going to come and join and watch me, so I can just watch it on a desk with a comfy chair. Like, I have a nice computer chair, and that's my luxury. The couch is there, but I never sit on my couch unless I'm,
reading the newspaper. Why wouldn't you? Like, I'm a couch person, you know? I like laying down and, like, stretching out on the couch, like, with the TV on, watching something. Like,
yeah. I mean,
that's how I relax. Like, when I feel like I'm not comfortable when I'm at a desk. Or, like, if I'm on, like, a small screen on a laptop, like, if I'm in bed or something, trying to watch it that way or whatever. Like, I don't know. I just, my proper viewing experience is on a TV in like a room where I can like stretch out and like relax.
Are you a TV in the bedroom kind of guy?
I go back and forth. Like, yeah. Currently there is no TV in the bedroom, but that is partially right now due to just spatial constrictions.
But one day,
'cause we can't fit too much in the bedroom right now with all like our furniture and everything that's like there's just the way our current bedroom is set up, like there isn't a lot of like empty space even like there's the furniture we've got, and then like all the like top spaces of the furniture have things on them as well, so it's just there isn't a space to put a TV unless we're gonna like hang it from a wall. Mm-hmm. And even then, like, it's not really necessary. So, like, when I was living with my two roommates, like, a while ago, back in the day, so this was, like, 4 years ago, like, originally I was the only one that had a TV. So, like, my TV was, like, in the main room, and we watched that, and, like, so, like, I would play games in there, and anything that we'd watch, like, people could watch it with me, or like I would watch it by myself or whatever, but like I was the main one using the TV. Mm-hmm. And then I got a second TV because it was Black Friday, and I got like a cheaper one, or like one for cheaper than I normally would, that was like an upgrade, mostly because the TV I had at that time had like a really stupid error in it where like it would dim whenever the screen got dark for any reason. So like anytime a show went to like a dimly lit alley or whatever, like the screen itself would also auto dim, like thinking that, you know, oh, I'm saving power because it's in a dark, you know, we don't need to use as much light in this scene. And it was really annoying because it was like the one brand of like that particular television that couldn't do an auto update through like the internet or whatever to like fix it. All the other brands of that television could get fixed, and it was a known like bug that was bad. Anyway, so I got a new TV, and so like that TV went into the main space because it was like a, it was a 50 inch, and it's currently the one I have now, and so like better and, you know, nicer and all that. And my the other one went into my room, bedroom at the, at that point. And so like when I wanted to like watch something by myself and not be disturbed, or like when I was going to bed at night and wanted to just put something on to relax before I went to sleep, you know, I had that TV in my bedroom. And I like having a TV in the bedroom because I fall asleep watching TV a lot. My girlfriend can attest to this. Like, I will fall asleep in the middle of shows on the couch while we're watching them. I am a professional napper. I will like take like 15 minute naps in the middle of an episode of television and then wake up and just keep going. But I also like putting the TV on and like slowly getting to the point where like, okay, I'm going to turn it off now and I'm tired enough to go to sleep. I also like reading in the same way. Like, I can read until I can feel my eyes getting tired and then just immediately go to sleep. I can't, like, I don't like playing games and then immediately going to sleep. Like, my brain is too charged up playing video games.
Great.
Before bed. Like, I have to do something non, like, interactive, I guess, you know?
Mm-hmm. Not, like, intensive or something. That's why, actually, I don't do the TV in the bedroom or even reading. It's tricky because some things, like, Harry Potter was a good example of this. If I got like to a certain point in Harry Potter in the new books when they would come out and stuff, I had to stay up all night to read it. I couldn't like put things away. That was always very difficult. Or I'm just going to read till the end of this chapter. If it's like a cliffhanger, I got to know what happens next. And so that's why I can't do those things. The thing that I do now, podcasts. So I'm in a dark room, I listen to podcasts, and I just set it for an auto off in like 30 minutes. I usually actually end up falling asleep in like 15.
Yeah, like I don't want to listen to something going to sleep. Like, I feel like I'm like actively listening to things before. I don't know, it's weird. Like, I don't, well, I think part of it is like I don't like having headphones in when I go to sleep. Like, it's like annoying enough that I can't get comfortable and like drift off if I have like headphones in. But like I sort of like passively watch television a lot. Like, I'm way more of a like a movie and television person than most people I know.
Agreed.
Like, you know, you've seen my movie collection.
Oh yes.
Or my DVD collection at the very least, and things I amassed before Netflix existed. And anyway, like I like watching things, and like it's a good passive form of relaxing entertainment for me when I just want to like turn my brain off and not think about things, and it really is a nice sort of, I almost want to say therapeutic, because like especially if I'm watching something I've already seen before, because like I'm not like as invested as if I'm like watching the new episode of WandaVision or something.
Mm-hmm. Got it. And actually, like, thinking back on it, I used to be in the TV and movies and stuff. I know the exact now reason I shifted from that philosophy was once the PlayStation 3 became obsolete. Because once the PlayStation 3 became obsolete, my DVD player / Blu-ray stuff, that was my device. And then if I had my PlayStation 3, I needed a TV for it. Once I stopped being dependent on the PS3 because I moved away from it and gains were being made for other stuff, I didn't need the TV anymore.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. Yeah. I guess since I've had my own television, a PlayStation has been hooked up to it. So, yeah. Like, it's the PlayStation 2 was my first DVD player.
Same. Yeah. I had, like, all my DVDs and stuff. I'd either watch it on the PlayStation, but once I got, like, not rid of, but I wasn't accessing the PlayStation anymore, it was on my computer. And with the Mac, I actually did go out and buy a little DVD player for the Mac because it has no disk drives and stuff. So I could at least have a reason to watch Blu-rays and DVDs on the Mac. And that's how I kind of shifted away. Rather than buying a TV, I just bought the little drive.
Yeah. You know, to each his own. Everyone's watching things differently. Like, Quibi thought people would watch things on their phones in 5 minutes. We know how that turned out. So what have I been playing? I've been playing a lot of things I haven't really gotten super deep into anything though. I've been replaying Final Fantasy X, which is an interesting experience.
Is that single player one?
Which
one is it? The single player, like, is that the one where you're? It's, I can't remember. There's only one other Final Fantasy I know besides 7 and Tactics. No, I'm thinking of 8 probably. So,
which one are you thinking of?
It's the one where you have like a gun blade.
Oh yeah, that's 8. Yeah.
Okay.
10. So 10. Was the first Final Fantasy for the PlayStation 2. It was the first Final Fantasy to have voice acting, which was a big deal at the time. And so, like, it was one of two reasons I got a PlayStation 2. Like, I owned is a strong word. I got my parents to buy Final Fantasy X and Metal Gear Solid 2.
Oh.
Before I got my PlayStation 2. Like, basically, it was like the world's worst secret that I was going to get a PlayStation 2 for Christmas. And I told my parents, like, I want these two games. And so I remember, like, buying those and then just, like, waiting for Christmas Day so I could play them.
I've done that sort of thing before where you get a gift and it's like, I can't use this gift yet, but I hope Santa does listen to me and get me this thing.
Yeah, that's basically what it was. But God, like, so, like, Final Fantasy X has, like, a special place in my heart because of that. Like, it was, like, the same for Metal Gear Solid 2, where it's just, like, that was the new generation, and, like, it was an exciting thing as, like, a teenager. Like, I was getting into the new system, and, like, these were series, like, I loved Metal Gear Solid, and I'd loved all the Final Fantasies up until that point. So, like, it was just, like, two new franchises looking, like, even more polygonal HD. And, oh, my God, they have voice acting. And, like, it was just – I had a lot of strong memories with it. And so – but it's literally been 15 years or however long since I've played it last. And I just – it was on sale. They remastered it for the PS4. And the graphics look really good. Like, they did a good job with the remastering. And it, like, they have Final Fantasy X and Final Fantasy X-2 as, like, a bundle. I'm not going to play Final Fantasy X-2. I have tried before. Like, there's a level of, like, camp and cringe that I can deal with in games. Mm-hmm. And Final Fantasy X-2 crosses that line almost immediately. I can't do it. Like, the voice acting, the plot of the game, I wanted to try it, and last time I tried it I got like 20 minutes in and I tapped out. Like, I there's not very many games that have made me so instinctively be like, nope, I'm not going to enjoy this, but 10-2 was one of them. Maybe I'll give it another shot. I don't know, like, maybe if I can, like, let go of, like, the preconceived notions of and just sort of, like, try and enjoy it. Maybe
if you played less than an hour, then maybe, like, maybe it was only the intro or the demo or kind of stuff that they would show you that's crappy.
From what I understand, it's not, like, so Final Fantasy X is a real interesting game because at the time it did a lot of things different from the other Final Fantasies that made people rail against it a little bit. And, like, up until that point, like, there was always staples of there's a world map that you can, like, explore, and, like, different towns you can go to, and, you know, you run around the world map and eventually you get an airship and can fly around, and, like, it's all sort of like a grand world you can explore. Final Fantasy X gets rid of the world map exploration. There's a lot of interconnected stuff that you can run through, like, different roads and everything, but they're like, distinct places, and when you get an airship, you basically get, like, you travel to different points on, like, a map that's an actual map with, like, dots on it, and then, like, you land and, like, start exploring on the ground, and so getting rid of that was a big deal, and a lot of people, like, didn't like it, and it also sort of revamps the battle system a little bit because it, and I liked it a lot because it makes it feel like you're actually traveling with a group because you can switch out anybody at any point in time and just like bring people in and out willy-nilly, no restrictions. And so unlike other Final Fantasies where like you have your A team and then your B team basically sits on the bench for the rest of the game because, you know, you have like 12 characters but four slots you can use for most of the game. This one, like, it feels like everyone that you're running with in your party is actually a part of the group because they are all, you know, a part of the battles. And so that I've always liked about the game. Mm-hmm. But after playing it, I still like it. Like, I'm enjoying myself. I get a little frustrated here and there with design decisions, but they're like general JRPG design decisions. Like, it has random battles. I fucking hate random battles. The best thing that ever happened to JRPGs was when they started like moving away from random battles. I hate it. It's like you walk two steps, you get into a battle. You walk three steps, you get into a battle. Oh fuck, I didn't open that treasure chest, gotta run back. Oh, I got into a battle before I could get to the chest.
Yep.
Fucking yep. It's always the worst. And so 10-2 is like 10-2 was also the first direct sequel, I think. Well, no, they did like Dirge of Cerberus and Crisis Core, but I think, I don't remember when those came out. Those were both for Final Fantasy VII, but I don't remember if they, I think they were both on the PS2. So 10-2 might have been the first direct sequel. I don't know. And 10-2 like throws away all the stuff from the first game. The main party is basically a girl group of three women, and they go on adventures, and it's like, they might even be like a pop band performing, and like two of the three women are characters from the first game, and then the third is like new for the second game, but like, it's like a job class game, I think, where like the three different characters get like different outfits and you change into the different outfits to get new abilities. And like, it's sort of like a pop starry esque narrative.
I see. And the voice acting,
the voice acting was really terrible. Like that, what I think is the thing that drove me the most out of it. Like I tried, but like the voice acting and like, it was not great. I think there was also a little bit of bias in the sense of that, like, I don't want to play a girly game. And it felt like that at the time. And I'm a little ashamed of that. I'm willing to give it another shot. But I definitely remember it wasn't just like the system of the game that bothered me. It was the fucking like terrible voice acting and like really over the top sort of campy feel to the game that I got from the first like 20 minutes. And like, Final Fantasy games have camp and like cringy moments, don't get me wrong. None of them are perfect, but like this one just felt like it was leaning into it from the beginning and making like a part of the game, as opposed to like a I don't know. I could be talking out of my ass here. This is just what I remember again from like very short time with it and before I noped out.
Give it a chance. Who knows?
Yeah, I'll see how far I get into it with Final Fantasy X. Like, if I'm burnt out on playing Final Fantasy by the time I finish it. Final Fantasy X does have the most glorious villain hair of all time, though. I'm going to actually send you an image in the Discord. You may have seen this bad guy before, because he made the rounds at the time as, like, the fucking stupidest hair ever imaginable. Like, imagine when I say JRPG hair, you know what I'm talking about, right?
I know.
Like, get like a serious image. Final Fantasy X was basically peak over design of characters. Like, the main character is over designed, the villain is over designed. I just sent you an image of the villain from the game.
That's not his hair, though. He's wearing a crown.
No, that's his hair.
The spiky things. I mean, there's spiky hair that is hair, but then he has like these wing.
No, that's also his hair.
I mean, every morning this dude has to get up and he probably has to put in wires and then he has to braid his hair around that.
That's like fucking extra strength Final Fantasy magic gel right there.
And it's impractical. He can't turn his head. It hits his shoulders. Like, okay. I was expecting some Sephiroth type shit, like maybe like that big poofy hair. I was not picturing wings on the side or like spoilers to his hair.
Oh my god, like you saying spoilers, like that really is what it is. He's got a fucking spoiler as his hairdo.
Okay. I mean, yeah, you can't really take the guy, like, yeah, it okay, I can see this is campy slash cheesy, like, wow. I mean, if yeah, it was like, all they had to do is like, oh no, this is my crown, I have a crown underneath here and it just projects out. Yeah, no,
I'll give you a,
oh my god, it's so
art.
Stupid. Wait, and, okay, he's got like scars on his face and not like thin strands of hair that come
yeah,
down.
Yeah, no, that's like different. That isn't his hair, like the things coming through like his eyes and everything. That's actually like part of his skin or whatever. But
this is so...
Yeah, no, everything else is hair.
Like, even if you're like, oh, that's appendages, he's an alien, I'd be like, oh, okay, that's some Star Wars shit. But if it's his hair, that's just... Ugh. Okay. Like... Give him the spike
is what
in
I
the
mean
front
by like
yeah,
peak
like,
over design.
Yeah. Okay. It looks
also like he's got like the most impressive V-neck t-shirt or whatever in existence. Like that is a fucking V-neck.
I didn't say I mean that's like a chest thong. Like that's not a V-neck. That's a tie that just goes straight down.
I mean, what? So like I'm talking about like the red, like that coming that. Down, like that's the shirt.
Are we sure that's not just more hair?
It'd be pretty great if it was. Like, I've always like, do you think that's chest hair?
Oh, I wasn't going for chest hair there. I was going for lower.
From oh where God,
it's where it's coming
no,
from?
No, no, no. Well, but oh, like, oh. But like.
Oh,
the,
on his
the
belly.
Way,
yes,
yeah, assume, like his,
like he's got chest tattoos, and then below, I assume that was like chest hair, which is a design choice to shave your pecs, but not your like abs. But okay,
yeah. So like in this that last picture that I just sent you, like I can't tell, is it supposed to be like more tattoo, but like a lighter shade, or is that like styled chest hair? I honestly can't.
I was going to say tattoo, but the above tattoo is touched up and it's darker. That one looks like he's shaved in like a sun or an eye into his chest hair.
Yeah. And like you can tell like what he's wearing around his neck is like some sort of like necklace type yeah. thing, like a charm. And then like the red is like supposed to be like part of the actual like shirt, outfit, whatever he's wearing. Anyway, we're talking about Seymour, by the way.
I was is his name Seymour?
Yes, yes. The guy we're talking about, Seymour, who is like the main antagonist of Final Fantasy X. If you didn't know, if you're not experienced in Final Fantasy lore and everything, look up Seymour Final Fantasy X, and you will see all these pictures we're talking about and his glorious, glorious hair.
I mean, it's a choice. It is a fashion choice to like. Have a tattoo, shave the area to keep the tattoo clean, and then create a faux tattoo out of your own chest hair. Like, that is a choice.
He's quite a character. I will say that. Anyway, I just had to share that with you since we were talking about Final Fantasy X. Yeah, I've been playing other stuff, but like, haven't really... I've been bouncing off of it. I played a lot of Fallout New Vegas for a little while. I'll probably go back to that. I've been like just bouncing around. I played a little bit more of Into the Breach. Like I've been doing my top 100, and every time I like write about a new game on my top 100 games, I'm like, oh, I should go back and play that. So I have gotten very like ADHD sort of game playing right now because I'm just bouncing around between everything.
I will say, actually, since you mentioned that, I did at some point, like a week or two ago, I played a few levels of Into the Breach, finally.
Oh, how, yeah, that's like, real quick, because we're almost out of time.
Yeah,
but, what,
it was hard.
What do you think of it?
I think if I spend, I wish I had gotten it on the Switch and not the computer. It seems perfect for like a handheld walking around type of game to sit and think about in like bed or on a couch. On the computer, I want to be more focused, but I don't like to sit and game this type of game, if it makes sense, like a puzzle game by mm-hmm. myself, like I'd want to be so it's challenging. It's far more challenging than I thought it would be. I mean, I had some idea that it would be hard, but like more so than I thought for like a 2D, like what it is, and like you take a turn and you see your computer make a turn kind of thing. Like, I'm still picking it up. I played only like 3 or 4 levels on the first island, but like, I think I did die, at least. I have had a death, and then I got sent back and stuff. So if I played it on the Switch, I'd probably play it a lot more, but I'm playing it on Steam on the computer. So yeah, it was something I just tried out for like an hour and then put it away.
You know it's on Switch, right?
I know, but now I own it on Steam. So
oh, okay.
I don't double up on games.
I mean, if you did though, Into the Breach is a good one to double up on. Especially since you just started, so you haven't unlocked a bunch of shit yet.
It's true. I have thought about it, but like there's
still probably be on sale at some point too.
If that happens, maybe.
All right. Well, that's it for us. Yay, we talked about gaming stuff and games we've been playing. It's a Christmas miracle.
And yet there was still plenty of good random tangents throughout this episode that I enjoy.
Well, yeah, that too. Like, there's nothing wrong with random tangents, but like, we've just been talking about news and other stuff every week and kept putting off and like not getting back to the core of this, which is making you a gamer and getting you to play some games. And I'm glad you have been playing, even if they've been rebelling against you and not working correctly.
But what could be more gamer than complaining to a video game company? But then I got a response, so hey.
Hey, yeah. All right, well, that's it from us. Thank you all for listening, as usual. If you, before I get into that, Harvey Z, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at TheZ is silent.
You can find me on Twitter at T-Man Plays Games. You can find our podcast at Make Me a Podcast. You can always email us at makemeagamerpodcast@gmail.com. Please email us. I would enjoy having some questions for either the next podcast or the podcast after, just because it would be nice. Give us something to ponder as we talk. You can also find my writings at tmanwrites.com. And I'm doing my top 100 still. I haven't stopped yet. Just got to 89 today, which happened to be one of your favorite games.
I saw. Yep. I wish it was higher, but okay, 89, sure.
Did you actually read what I wrote?
No.
Oh, of course. Sorry. Not. Why would you?
I just saw it at work. I had work to do. I'm a busy man.
Yeah, but you can spend time researching tall Resident Evil lady. Yeah, I get it. I see where your priorities lie. But yeah, so that's it. You can also join our Discord, which is in the description. And we will see you next week. Harvey Z, take us out.
I got a new get rich quick idea here. So like, with this whole WWF and adopting an endangered animal, and I get a certificate and stuff, adopt a Harvey Z, help a person in need. They just pay me the money and I'll send them a certificate and they can name their version of Harvey Z. And multiverse Harvey Z's. Like, all I got to do is you can have Harvey Z number 2 through like 58, 2 through like 1,000. All you got to do is pay me $100 and I'll send you a certificate and that multiverse Harvey Z is yours. I think this could work, actually. This is a genius idea, dude.
Okay.
Who wouldn't want to own, like, another Harvey Z? What if another multiverse has already done this? What if I'm owned already? Fuck.
What if I'm owned already? Well, you know what, Harvey? I think that has happened. I think you have already owned yourself.